In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. We find the lectionary today has decided the entire final and sixth and final chapter of Paul's letter to the church in Galatia is our focus. All but a couple of verses. So I considered preaching the entire chapter. I figured you guys, you're all good with that? Amen? Yeah, you don't mean it. I'll just cover a piece of it. But there's two parts that I want to really talk about, beginning at verse 7 and going forward. But it's one of those moments. One moment is normal, the other one is rare. The first portion of that section of our reading, I think Paul is being very clear. That's the unusual part. But as Peter writes in his second letter, sometimes Paul is hard to understand. And I would agree in that case, perhaps Paul is a little bit harder to understand, but I think he has something of great importance to share with the church today. So I'm going to focus on these verses 7 through 16. I'm probably going to maybe throw in verse 18, and who knows? We'll just see what happens next. But first, we get this little bit of clarity at verse 7, chapter 6. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So that's some good clarity. If we're worried about us and what we want, we probably are not going to be in alignment with what the Spirit wants. Amen? So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. Let us never give up working for the good of all. Let's not grow weary. Let's not fall apart in the midst of this. There's this understanding, this underlying reality in what Paul is saying. The work that God has called us to do is not easy. And this is the harder part, maybe, for us to grasp in our society today. The work God has called you to do is not easy, and it is not about you. It's about Him. And if what we do is about us, it cannot be about Him. If we claim our own desires, if we claim our own flesh, if we claim what we want above what God is calling us to, we will not be a reflection of God's work and God's will. We will merely be a reflection of ourselves to the world. There's an underlying truth in that he says, and don't grow weary. Well, why would he say that? Well, because we're probably going to grow weary at some point. He's telling us, don't grow weary in doing what is right. We will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. And we live in a world that says you should have what you want and you should have it when? Now. And God says, you will have what you need. And you'll have it when you need it. And he will provide it. Clarity. Verse 11, things start to get a little less clear. See what large letters I make when I'm writing in my own hand. Those of us who have poor handwriting, we like to warn people. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh that try to compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Paul is living at a time where there is still this ongoing struggle, this concept of can you be a follower of Jesus without first being considered Jewish? Should you be, do you have to be circumcised in order to follow this Jesus? It's already been ironed out, by the way. You don't have to be. But the reality is then it was still in question. So the easier thing to do is rather than get into this controversial concept, it'd be just get circumcised. Look like you belong here and you will belong. And then we don't have to deal with any of the struggle or the controversy. I don't have to feel uncomfortable. And we can all just show up and look like we are God's people. Amen? Is that going to be enough? Well, I suspect just looking like God's people and maintaining the status quo is not going to be helpful. It wasn't helpful then, and it isn't helpful now. So Paul's telling them that same thing. Oh, now I don't know where I'm going to be. We'll just throw that anywhere. We don't know what's going on if we stay too far away from the reality of God. We will only understand and know ourselves. This is what Paul was speaking against. Those who just want to cling to the appearance of being God's people instead of perhaps actually being God's people. He adds to this when he says, even the circumcised do not themselves obey the law, but they want to be circumcised. They want you to be circumcised so that they may boast about your flesh. This looks a little different, I think, today for us. This concept of just looking like God's people and looking like good church people, I think that remains the same. Amen? I'll go to church Sundays, maybe every other, maybe every third. And I'll claim Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and that'll be good enough. Should be fine. That way we can sort of maintain, right, that status quo and our own understanding of who God is and the way in which we live our lives. And that'll be good enough. Because if we go any further, we might look different. God might change us if we go too far. And we might start to look like a weirdo. This strange follower of Jesus, who, by the way, never shuts up about Jesus. Talks about him all the time. Want to pray with you of all things, in public and out loud. Oh my. We don't want to be that person. Amen? Yeah, see? But we are called to be those people. And living in this time and in this season, we often see these struggles and we see these problems that are going on around us. And what does that really mean? What should we even be doing about it? And as Paul's writing in large letters, he continues, "May I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." Paul is laying out the core of his being. Nothing matters more than what he just said. There's nothing more important than anything that he says, anything he does, any way in which he moves. There is nothing more important than recognizing and boasting only in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. The world, as we see it, as we understand it, and know when Paul talks about the world, he's not talking about the good part. He's talking about worldly behaviors. He's talking about those things that are not necessarily of God but are present in this broken, fallen world in which we walk. Those things are dead to him. And to those who cling to that, he is dead to them. He calls us to be the same way, to walk in this way, to have this understanding that when we are walking in the world today, and the world is behaving in a particular way, and it gets a little bit under our skin, and our response to the world looks like the way the world is behaving, we are no longer walking with Christ. When we find ourselves stressed out, frustrated, whatever it may be about what's happening around us, When we begin to act like those who are stressed out and worried about what's going on around us, we are no longer under the cross of Christ. We are now dealing with self. When you find yourself in the world and the world says something in a particular way and you immediately stand up and say, I need to stand different against them to the point where I can show them they're wrong, they need to know they're wrong and I have to tell them, you, brothers and sisters, are wrong. That is not the Jesus we follow. That is not the understanding what it means to be a Christian in the world. The world is broken, damaged, and fallen, and sinful. And we are called as broken, damaged, sinful people to walk in the power of God, to walk in the Spirit of God. So whenever we walk in the way that we desire, regardless of what the situation may be, if our desire is not to be Christ-like in the situation, we are not walking in the Spirit. We are walking in self. And I get it. Believe me. We fight it, don't we? Somebody says something, you're like, I need to show them. Better yet, let me go get 5-6 other people that agree with me, and then all together we can show that person how wrong they are. I'm not feeling Jesus in that, are you? That doesn't sound like Jesus. When we grab a hold of the brokenness of the world and it becomes our primary focus that now affects the way in which we move, we have let go of the cross. Paul is saying, hold on. Hold on to the cross. Don't grow weary in doing good. Struggle's real. So you can grab a hold of the world if you want. But here's reality. I want you to search yourselves. Anytime you've grabbed a hold of the world and gotten tied up in whatever nonsense is being stirred around, tell me how you've clung to Christ in the midst of it. Because I promise you, you cannot do both. There are days I wish I could. And there's days when I've done that and I've decided I'll just go find a few other people who agree with me and they'll tell me that we're clinging to the cross and we'll be fine. Status quo. But we're not. We're following the world. We're not following Christ. Paul said it was going to be hard. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. We all struggle. We all have to fight it. It's not even new. In this lovely book, I have these writings, Evelyn Underhill. She's a mystic, considered a modern mystic. Because these writings are from the 40s, where she, by an act of God, was teaching ordained clergy in the 40s. To some of you, that doesn't mean anything. To others, it gives you great clarity of God's presence in her life, or she wouldn't have been given the opportunity to do that. She says this, we need to be seeking something more. Paul would say, a transformation. His words exactly, let me pull that for you so I don't misquote. For neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything, but a new creation is everything. If we're worried about maintaining status quo and not so worried about the reality of a changed life, a new creation in Christ, we will just maintain status quo. And we may find ourselves claiming to be comfortable there. I pray you are not. She would say, what be this new creation, what could it look like? She says, it is the reward of really trying to do or bear something for God. not wanting to do or bear something. What does that mean? Well, it means when you're frustrated with what's going on in the world and you are going to do something that will make you feel better about your frustration, your anger, whatever it may be, when you move on that, you are doing something. But you better be wondering, are you doing something for God? And you better know it's for God. And I can say this, if you act in any way that is ungodly, any way that doesn't look like Jesus, any way that isn't open, loving, and caring, even for the people you don't openly love or care for, then it is not something you're doing for God. It's something you're doing for you. And it's dangerous, brothers and sisters. It is dangerous to walk like that. And I would say don't. Paul would say definitely don't. Evelyn Underhill says it is the reward of really trying to do or bear something for God, not wanting to do or bear something. If you feeling very self-righteous in your actions, then God is not righteous in your actions. If you are self-satisfied because you've said just the right thing or you really stuck it to them in your post on the internet, you have now officially stepped outside of the Spirit of God and you are dealing with your flesh. She carries on and says, even the most impressive view from the hotel terrace tells nothing of the real secret of the mountains, which is only imparted to those who will turn their backs on comfort, take the risks. So the passive appreciation of the spiritual landscape, the agreeable reading of mystical books, fruit of the courage and love of other souls, but making no demand on ours, gives us no genuine contact with the things of God. If you find yourself comforted by the way in which you are boldly responding to what is happening around you, you are probably comforting yourself and comforting your flesh. Because I can tell you, as someone who fights with this all the time, when you are walking in a world that makes no sense to you, and you are clinging to your faith, and you walk into the middle of it, I promise you, there is no comfort. What we can find it is the peace of God. And what we should bring to it is the peace of God, not the fight. You can choose the fight if you want, but as soon as you choose the fight, you've chosen a side, and that side belongs to the world. Because this Jesus that we proclaim has come into this world for which people? All people, whether you like it or not. Too often, brothers and sisters, I see the church running into their buildings and saying, we're like-minded people here. And the first thing that's like-minded about them is they're claiming something of the world and trying to press it into being the basis of the church. The basis of the church is the same basis that Paul had. The basis of this church is the cross of Christ. Amen? And we cling to it above all else and at all times. And we do not grow weary because when we are moving in that way, when we are clinging to Him, we are moving in the Spirit of God, not the spirit of self. And that is the call. And that makes it very difficult, and it's a struggle, but we hold together. And we remember it's not going to be easy. Because if what we're doing makes no demand of our own soul, if our soul is not challenged by our own actions, as broken, fallen, sinful people, we may be moving on our self and our own selfish desires, not by the Spirit of God. Making no demand on our own souls gives us no genuine contact with the things of God. She goes on later in this writing. According to tradition, our Lord fell three times under the weight of the cross, but rose and went on with full knowledge that worse suffering, more bitter humiliation lay before him. So when we're motivated by our flesh to take an action that brings us some sort of comfort, that we get out there and prove how right we are, I would say we need to be very careful that we aren't simultaneously proving how far from God we are. It's a higher calling, not a popular one. When we turn away from the ways of the world and walk in this fallen creation as his new creation, we will gain a deeper understanding of our Lord and his call on our lives. New creation is everything. The new creation comes through the cross, not through social media, not through news media, not from the world, but from our Lord. And as for those, Paul says, who will follow this rule, peace be upon them and mercy and upon the Israel of God, which is his fancy way of saying the people of God. See, his peace is what we seek. His peace is what we carry. Always. Never growing weary. Never letting go of the truth that he gave his life on that cross so that we could be united to him in fullness, that we may be a reflection of him to those who are watching, and that we may point others to him so we can find a true peace, not just our moment of being right, a true peace that makes us one in him. And as Paul closes his letter, I will close it with you. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen.